Thank you, Lord, for this great and wonderful time that you've gotten us into, that we're in. And Father, Lord, place it in our hearts to run after you with everything that we've got. You promised us in your word even, that if we did, it would be worth everything to give up everything here to acquire the things of you, Lord. I can't imagine what it could be, but if it's a whole lot better than what we've got here, I can't see why any reason why we shouldn't be running after you with all our hearts, Lord. I know that our flesh sometimes gets in the way, but Lord, you're teaching us to die to it and to be overcomers over the flesh. And I thank you for it, Father, and I praise you, Father, that we are overcomers over the flesh and the world. The world has nothing for us. It hadn't had anything for us the whole time we've been here. But Lord, if we got you, we've got everything. Everything. To things that we can't even imagine waiting us as we get closer and closer to you, Father. And I thank you, Father, for placing it in each and every one of us to hide ourselves in your word and you, Lord, at every available opportunity. Lord, I thank you for leading us and guiding us tonight into the realms of what you want us to go into, Lord. And I thank you for leading us in that direction. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Lord, I thank you for answering our prayers for Will and his mom today, that the farm would be safe and daddy's going to repent and come home and be the dad he's supposed to be and the wife and husband he needs to be. And Father, we thank you for that, that you have really repented to him and brought him back into the kingdom, and brought him into the kingdom. And Father, we thank you that when he does, that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit, baptize him in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for doing that for Will and Louise's dad and husband. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right, anyone else? Lord, I lift up President Trump to you. I thank you, Father, for giving him wisdom and discernment in the things that he needs. The great wisdom in state affairs. And Father, we praise you. We thank you for doing that for Trump. And I thank you for your protection upon him too, Lord. At all times. And Father, we know that your warrior angels are all around about him, protecting him every step he takes. We praise you, and also the people that are working with him too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, we send confusion into the enemy's camp right now. In Jesus' name, that they want any kind of conjuring up stuff that they want to do to Trump, Lord, let it be nothing but confusion in their minds. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that the enemy has no chance because your angels are on the job. And when they're on the job, ain't nothing the enemy does can come to pass in Jesus' name to fruition. Lord, I thank you for giving our military leaders wisdom and discernment also, Lord. In Jesus' name, and I thank you for the sheriffs of this nation that are constitutional sheriffs, Father, and I praise you, and I thank you, Lord, that they are going to follow the Constitution. And not only that, they will exercise their legal authority in their county. And we praise you, and we thank you, Father, for doing that in your, with these honest sheriffs, in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for doing that. Glory be to God, that they would be the protection that the people needs in their county from all points are in their counties, Lord, and we praise you and we thank you, Father, for that. Lord, I lift up everybody in this fellowship right now, those that are listening. I thank you, Father, for drawing them nigh unto you, Lord, in a way they've never experienced before, in a way that would open up realms of the supernatural that they couldn't even imagine. And I praise you for that, Father. Into the realm of the kingdom, which is unlimited, unmarked. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts are tuned towards you. It's pointed right straight to you, Lord. And that nothing can get in our way of you, Lord. It makes no difference. YouTube can't get in the way. Facebook can't get in the way. Telephone can't get in the way. We thank you, Father, for doing that in our lives. No form of communications can get in there to distract us to do what you want us to do, Father God. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. No distractions, no YouTube, no Facebook, and all the rest of them. I can name them, but I don't know them all. Father, I just thank you for keeping the social media out of here, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for my brothers up in Canada, that they're going to have a governmental change coming real soon. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, it's going to be an asset to that country, and they'll hook up with the United States at some point in time. And I praise you for that, Father, that the open borders would only be people of good repute and no outlaws going back and forth bringing junk in or taking junk out in either country, in Jesus' name. Lord, and I thank you there's also a change coming in South Africa, that there's going to be a big change coming in South Africa because the deep state's coming down. The deep state is coming down, and those that are in the deep state are getting out of that. And I praise you, Father, for a good, honest government in South Africa that would help the economy, that would help all the peoples and not just a select few. In Jesus' name, I pray that for all the countries. In Jesus' name, I pray it for all the South American countries too, Venezuela, Brazil, all of those countries that have been put under totalitarian control. In Jesus' name. Is that you, Megan? No? Is that Terry? Teresa. That's Teresa. What's up, Teresa?
I'm right here.
Hi. Yeah. Hey, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Can I bring up Terry?
Can you how much?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, she doesn't understand Hello? Arkansas language, does she? I said, what did you say?
can I bring up Terry? What's going on with Terry at this point?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, he's been transported by ambulance to, a treatment center here in Topeka, Valero, at which he checked out. Well, when he checked out, nobody would pick him up, you know, because everybody wanted him to stay in treatment. Well, he wandered for 4 days, with no phone because they didn't bring his charger. He had his wallet stolen from him. He was sleeping underneath bushes. So, God was working. God soon touched my other son's heart, Jesse, and said, we need to go look for him. We're going to bring him back here. If we don't want him dying there, we'll just bring him back here. He can die here with family. So Jesse had a real change of heart about letting him come back to stay with him on his land. And I'm staying on Jesse's land as well because, I'm visiting from Idaho and my land is for sale in Idaho. So I'm staying in the meantime on my son's land, Jesse's. And so it ended up, Terry ended up in jail because he was so physically depleted. And he, you know, so I started taking care of him, but we refused to get him any alcohol. And so he actually attacked me because to get my keys. And so I had, you know, I yelled, got away, yelled at Jesse to call the police. So the police got him. Nobody was hurt. But he was so in such bad physical shape that he couldn't stand up for very long, and he just fell over repeatedly. And he had bruises all over his back. He had cuts all over his head, you know, from all that he's gone through. Now, this is all because, you know, he started drinking heavily after his wife betrayed him with the false PUA against him, and he and stripped him of everything. And so he just thought his life was over, stripped him of his kids whom he loved dearly. And so he just couldn't take it. And so he went off the deep end. And so, but now he's in jail where he can't just walk out once he feels better, and he can't resume drinking, and he is in medical supervision in jail. So, you know, he's in a place where he can detox, and he has medical supervision while he's detoxing. So, you know, that's good news, but, you know, I still want to, you know, us to agree in prayer that he's healed by Jesus' stripes totally. And, you know, you bound the demons, but, you know, we're still going to stand against whatever ground that they have, you know, whatever, you know, whatever's there. Still keep standing that all that's bound and cast out of his life, up and out of him in Jesus' name. And that he's just perfectly healed by Jesus' stripes in Jesus' name. You know, and he has, when he was here with me, he listened to me preaching the word to him that Jesus wants to fill his belly with his, with him, Jesus Christ, the living water. So out of his belly flows out rivers of living water. And he said, Mom, I heard that before. Well, just say it. You know, thank you, Jesus, for filling my belly with your, with yourself and your living water, and out of my belly flows living water. Well, he said it in Jesus' name. So we're standing, you know. So, but right now he's going through withdrawals, and I mean, it's, if we hadn't found him, you know, me and Jesse and Christina, we just decided we're going to go downtown Topeka. We're going to walk around till we find him. Well, we found him, and you know, brought him back here where I started taking care of him. And then if we hadn't found him, he was close to dying. I mean, he was just pretty close. And so that's why he's under super, you know, medical supervision in jail. So, you know, I just want to pray that the devil can't have him, that the law of the spirit of life, Jesus is working his law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus in him and setting him free from the law of sin and death can't take him in Jesus' name. So,
amen.
Anyway, that's my story.
Okay. Lord, we thank you for doing a mighty work in Terry. We thank you, Father, that Mama wasn't going to let him die down the street. And she went and got him and took him to a place to where they can look at him and watch him and take care of him while he gets off of this stuff. Now, Lord, I ask for supernatural deliverance from this addiction of alcohol or whatever, anything, addiction to anything. And I command it by the blood of Jesus to leave his body right now in Jesus' name. And yeah. I command all symptoms of withdrawals to go in the name of Jesus. Y'all just imagine in your mind that he wakes up right now, that he comes alive and says, it's gone. Praise God, it's gone.
Amen.
And I praise you, Father, for doing that for Terry. Yep. In the name of Jesus, I command those spirits that have tormented him for a long time, you go. And I don't care what you call yourself. You leave his body and his spirit right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
You go from him and be gone. And Lord, I ask and I pray for that you would grant repentance to Terry and bring him in, Lord.
Yes.
And not only bring him in, Lord, fill him with the Holy Spirit. And he'd have a full language already when he got to see his mom again.
Yes.
And I praise you, Father,
yes,
that I can see him right now on his knees praying. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. I thank you, Father, that Terry is already into the kingdom. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for our brother Terry in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that your angels in heaven right now are celebrating for Terry's coming into the kingdom. And Father, I thank you that this is going to be a solid, solid man of God. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Does anybody in here believe what I just prayed is coming to pass even right now as we speak? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father, that you're doing this mighty work for Terry right now. Not only for Terry, all of his family and friends too, Lord, that knew him.
Yes.
And I thank you, Father, it's going to be an absolute witness to him and the world. And he's going to give the glory to God Almighty. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I believe it. Y'all believe it, don't you? Thank you, Jesus. It's done.
I believe it.
Amen. And everybody
Michael,
here does too. Yes, ma'am.
Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
One more thing. I have to repent of unforgiveness against Dina and her dad and her biological mom that have fomented this fraudulent thing against Terry. When he's been just like innocent, you know, he's been, you know, like I said before, he's just been a faithful husband who deeply loved his wife, deeply loved his kids, overworking too many hours and, you know, depleted from that. But, you know, he was innocent of what she, the PFA that she, her and her dad fomented against him. I have to forgive that because I know every single word of it is a lie. But, you know, I'm praying, God, you're the avenger, you know. And so I have to repent of that because I want my prayers answered for him. So, you know, I have to forgive them. And so I do, you know,
okay.
I do. And in agreement with your prayer that God has saved them. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, thank you, Lord. She has confessed her sin, and Lord, she is now sanctified just like she was before. And I praise you for it. Lord, I lift up his wife and her family. And Lord, I think I'm right here. I thank you, Lord, for doing a mighty work in them too. That this turnaround in Terry would affect them too. That his anger will be gone. All of his aggravation is gone. And he won't have anything but the love of Jesus in his heart. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. For Terry, that he would be the instrument that you would use to bring that whole family in and his family in too.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for
doing
that
to
Terry. What a wonderful Saul to Paul that would be. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Terry. Amen. That's done.
It's
so
done.
We're going to be looking for the good report because I know it's coming. I want to hear it from him, too.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Now start confessing it. Don't, Teresa, from this point on, don't confess that he's an alcoholic anymore because he's not. He's already been set free by the power of God. But he is now
set
a mighty
free by
man
the power
of God.
I agree. If
somebody asks you how Terry is, you say Terry is a man of God filled with the Holy Spirit and evangelizing everybody around him. Glory be to God.
Amen. Glory be
That's
to God.
That's the true confession. That goes with according to what the word says.
That is
says.
A true confession.
Absolutely. Thank you, Father. somebody asks me, how's Teresa Boyd? Now, I'm going to say, that man is, has been changed. He is 180 degrees away from what he was before. He's full of the Holy Ghost and preaching the Word of God. Glory to God. All right, I believe it. I'll thank you, Lord, for my grandson.
I know God's doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I thank you, Lord, for doing the same thing to Blake. I thank you for getting him off of drugs. Yeah. He hadn't had any drugs in over a year now. Praise God. He's not only, not only that, Lord, I thank you that he has dropped the alcohol and the beer too. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for working in his life too. Because how many years ago was it you showed me or told me that he was going to be a mighty man of God, preaching the word to a bunch of folks? That was back when he was about 7, 8 years old. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else want to pray? God is here tonight. I'm telling you, God is here. Lord, I believe every word that you say in your word. I believe it, Lord, and I thank you. I don't know all the words in it by memory, but Lord, I know that when I read that word, man, there's a powerful anointing. And I thank you for it, Father, and I thank you. You can do the same thing for everybody else that opens up that word. That word will open up and be a revelation to any and everybody that does it. Thank you, Father God. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Julie.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy on us and hearing our prayers for our loved ones and our family members and everyone you've brought across our path to pray for and intercede. That's what you called us to do, is like Esther, she prayed for her people, Lord, and that's our job as priests in your kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, that those prayers are heard, they are answered, because you see our hearts. You see the cry of our hearts and our loved ones. You see everything, Lord. And you do, in your infinite wisdom, in your sovereignty, Lord, that you bring people into our lives that we pray for, whether it's for healing or deliverance or, you know, and for their souls, Lord, ultimately that you save them and bring them into the kingdom. I thank you for your promises, Lord, that we can claim those things and declare them, and you will watch us walk in faith, steadfast and unmoved for those things, no matter what we see or hear in the natural, Lord, that we'll just hold on to your promises no matter what. And we will not be discouraged. We will not back down, and we will not waver in our faith, in our confession, believing you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for encouraging everybody in faith in the promises, Lord, that whatever lie the enemy is trying to pollute our minds with, to defile us, to get us to give up, or to get us looking at the things in the natural, Lord, that we will discern those things very quickly and cast them down and proclaim and declare, just as Teresa was saying about Terry, Father. And I thank you for doing that for all of our loved ones and family. I thank you, Lord. That's how you use us, Lord. That's how you use us to bring others into the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Lord, that you don't waste anything, that all of these things that we see our families going through, or their circumstances or their problems, Lord, you are not wasting it. It is for your glory. Everybody has to learn and know and understand they need you, and that they will call upon your name. You will grant them repentance, because that's the prayer of our hearts for them, Lord. And these prayers we know are heard and answered. We thank you, Lord, for it. Your heart, Lord, is a desire to see all men saved. And you use us to do that, Father. And I thank you for hearing our prayers and our crying and our praising you and our worship to you, Lord, for doing those very things that we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And I want to do something else for Terry. In the name of Jesus right now, I cast down every negative word, every curse word spoken against him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for your shield of faith all around him, Lord. The blood of Jesus covers him and knocks down all of these word curses spoken against him and the bad confessions spoken against him right now. I know people that have seen him like he is or was, and they tend to do that. But Lord, we just cast them all down as null and void right now in the name that's above every name. That's the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, they will have no effect upon his coming into the kingdom in Jesus' name. And I'm talking about real soon, quickly. And Lord, I thank you that we're going to keep our eyes on you and what we pray. We're not veering from it. We're only going to confess the good report in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Ted. Amen. And amen. All right, anybody else? Lord, I thank you for giving David supernatural energy and supernatural discernment and wisdom into the role that you have him in right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, that no sleep is like a bunch of sleep for him. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that if he even lays his head down for a minute, it'll be like a 8-hour sleep. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for doing this for David. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right, anybody else? I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's here. He's a great anointing. It is a great anointing. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. My, my, my. Y'all want to hear a good song? Oh, man, got one lined up here.
Can I interrupt just a second? Terry, or Teresa, I just wanted to remind you, too, to hit *6 on your phone keypad. To mute yourself, to mute and unmute, it's *6.
Now, say that again. What do I need to do?
On your keypad, on your phone, like you're going to dial somebody there, it's
yeah.
*6.
*6. So what should I do? Should I press *6 right now or what?
Uh-huh, and that'll mute your phone.
Okay, *6.
And to get back on to say something, *6 again. Just remember, if you want to do anything, *6.
If you want to raise your hand, it's *9. I think.
It's yeah.
And then Michael will know you have a question and you want to say something.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Did you get a good word this week? Yeah, Vanita.
Hello, everyone. I have a praise report. My daughter is up in Alaska, and she had her, she was getting her instrument rating, and it was a tough 3 weeks, but she failed the first time, and she passed the second time, so that was pretty scary, and it was a lot of work, and quite a few trials along the way with weather and the trainer and everything, and but she just kept praying for her and praying for the weather to clear up, and it did. Every time I prayed, Nick and I would ask for the next day to be nice weather, because she'd had 3 days of bad weather, and he would fulfill our request, and she'd have a good day, she could fly. So she got through it all, and praise the Lord. She's going to be there for another month, just exploring Alaska now, and then driving back south after that. So just pray for protection over her, Lord, that you would just keep an eye on her, and just in this beauty of Alaska that you have up there, Lord, that you would just show yourself mighty and powerful, and all the things that you've done up there. Just bring back her memory to all she's learned about creation, Lord, and all that she's learned about you as she's sitting there in the majesty of your world. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Yeah, Judy.
Anita, so Angela, she failed her first test, but then she passed the second. So what does that mean? She's not, did she get her pilot's license, or what does that mean for her?
Yeah, she, so they, at the end of the training, they have a check ride. And so they have an oral exam and then a flight exam. And so she got through everything. She did great. And he gave her this approach that she had to land at the airport. And there was just, she didn't, I don't know, just a weird thing that he asked her to do. And she didn't know she could ask for more time, so she didn't.
She didn't bark the airplane, did she?
No. So she didn't pass that one little part of the test. And okay. So the next, after a couple of days, they went back up and just did that one little part, and she passed that. So now she's got her instrument rating, which is the level before you become commercial pilot.
Yeah.
What kind of
plane was it that she,
It was a little single engine, like a Cessna type of plane. So that's all she's in right now. She doesn't have anything bigger. She's got to work her way up to bigger planes than that.
Yeah. Okay. Praise God. That's great. So she can be an ag pilot if she wants to now, huh?
Yeah. Don't mention chemtrails or anything.
Well, I understand something about the chemtrail pilots. They get a lot of money, but there's one drawback to it. If it looks like they're going to have to land or something where they should, that they'll go ahead and blow up the plane. So rather than get them understand that they're going to get caught doing something they shouldn't be doing. Go ahead, Joe. Tell her not to be a chemtrail pilot. Don't do that.
Morning, everybody. On Monday, I hope I can explain this properly. I was at the shopping mall. On my way out, I passed a guy who was on crutches, both sides. He got wooden crutches. And the first boy said to me, "Just leave him, go on your way." But after a couple of steps, I turned back and I'm going back to him and talk to him a little bit, ask him if I can pray for him. So I ask him, "How are you doing?" And he says, "Fine." And he says to me, "Would you mind if I pray for you?" He says, "Why?" I says, "No, because I see you got crutches." I say, "What's wrong with your legs? Both legs are swinging, almost like, look like it's swinging." He said, "There's nothing wrong with my legs." So I was surprised. Not everybody here is believing it. But I says, "Why well, can I pray for your legs? Well, I prayed. When we talk a little bit, but he says, no, God used him as he is. In other words, he says in the beginning, he was talking about Moses. He says, I am ascending me, because he can't talk good, but he says, I am ascending you. So in other words, he believing in God says, I can use you the way you are. Well, I was just starting explaining to him, say, but Jesus might change everything. In other words, you could be healed, and you will be healed and things if you pray for me, for him or whatever. And he says, no, but he keep on saying, no, God using him as easy is. So we just talk a little bit, and then he have to go. So I'm on my way back to my car. I thought I missed a chance of giving him a good news track, but he says now he believing he, God says to him, I am. In other words, he's going to use him as he is. I'm not sure if he doesn't want to get healed, but I already prayed for him. So his name is Pat. You have to explain that right to understand, actually.
Yeah, we understand it.
Okay.
Yeah. You meet people like that sometimes. I'll tell you one. I think Missy met one time. And she was that way, too.
I was personally shocked. What was this? Something wrong with my legs. Well, it should be, if you believe in Jesus, in other words, you should claim your healing. In other words, there's nothing wrong with my legs. I am healed. But he says the other part. He says, I am. So I was shocked in the first time. Well, it's the first time I've met somebody like that. He says, no. So I was feeling guilty afterwards, thinking about it, not giving it a track. But I went back, but I couldn't find him, so I just prayed for the Lord to.
Yeah. Oh, I've run across a bunch of them, but I want you praying for them. Same being on crutches or wheelchair or something like that. They don't want you to pray for them. You know, I had one guy tell me, get your hands off of me and get away from me. He was in a wheelchair.
Mm.
But yeah, that it happens. But you were obedient to the Lord. That's the main thing. He was testing to see if you're going to be obedient to Him. And when you do that, you know, next time you'll be able to pray for somebody, and they'll come up out of that, whatever it is, and be that away. So that's a great thing about the Lord. Don't get condemned that you picked the wrong one or something like that. I had one. Lord took me out of my house to go up to Jacksonville, which is about 20 miles away, 25 miles away from my house, to go into a National Home Center, pulled in the parking lot there. And the Lord, you see the guy coming out now? There was a guy, an old man in a wheelchair. And I went up to him and I said, I started talking with him a little bit. I said, you know, the Lord sent me here to pray for you. Can I pray for you? He said, get your hands away from me and get away from me. And I said, oh my goodness, what is this? So I went back to my truck with my head tucked between my tail, and I just got up in my truck and I said, Lord, what in the world happened? He told me, you were obedient. I was going to just see if you were going to be obedient. But I gave this guy one last chance to come into the kingdom and be here. And he didn't want to be. So that's his last go-round. So, you know, it's just the Lord might be working in somebody else too. You don't know. Missy ran across a famous cripple. Wasn't it? Yeah, you did. Wasn't it you that remember across that woman? Yeah, I thought it was. Uh-huh. Got to kick her brain out of the mouth.
That's been so long, I didn't know what you were talking about at first.
Well, I remember.
Johnny Erickson Tata. down in Cleveland, Tennessee, south of there where the ministry's at. Yeah, I didn't I didn't offer to pray for her, I don't believe. I don't remember exactly what all was said, but I gave her a Sovereign God book, and she asked me for my address, and I'm not sure if my phone number or not, but she sent me a thank you letter then, and
I thought you told me that she either told you or something about that the Lord made her like she is so she could reach a lot more people and, you know, that kind of garbage.
Oh, that, I can't, you know, that's been so long. I hadn't thought about it in for so long. I don't quite remember what all she said, but.
Yeah. Well, people sometimes are like that, so.
Yeah. Well, I came across, I saw this shared on here. A woman out in Walmart, several months back. She was deaf. She was a Walmart worker. And, I was, you know, asked about praying for her and, well, actually asked her, she knew the Lord or whatever. And she said, yeah. And, I said, you know, Jesus still heals. And she said, I don't remember exactly what she said, but she didn't want prayed for. She in so many words, maybe all but all her children are deaf too. She all but said that she likes being deaf. She wouldn't want to be any other way. Yeah. And she says she's a Christian, you know, and all. And, I was like,
Has she never heard before? Was she born that way?
She was born that way. And so were her
children. How would she know? You know, that's the question. How do you know? You know. People sometimes sit there. Yeah.
So it was a pretty bizarre encounter. I think I had to pick my jaw up off the floor.
You had to kick your dog across the floor.
Pick my jaw up off the floor.
Oh.
Michael. Of course I didn't say that.
I can't see why you want to kick poor old Fudge across the door, across the floor, for goodness sake.
I just got to say this.
Be careful.
No, it's just, I don't know what it is. It's and it seems like it's men that have to do this, and I don't know why. You do this, and my husband does this, but you'll say what you'll say what you think you heard, knowing how bizarre it is, but you'll say it anyway. Like I really said that. It just cracks me up.
Well, that's why we say it.
Oh, anyway.
All right. Who's next? The thing that street people that go out and meet people all the time, and I've done this, I did it for years and still do it occasionally, is I don't get condemned or in any kind of feeling of rejection or anything like that when somebody turns me down. And all I say to myself is, well, that's your loss, brother. You know, that is, that's their loss because they just had a chance to meet the Lord God Almighty. Praise God. And that's the way to look at it. Is that a tattoo on your hand? Yeah. Okay. Got a blue hand. Go ahead.
Well, what was coming to me is when you say that we shouldn't feel rejected. We shouldn't feel bad about it because the Lord said it's like They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. That's what Jesus said. You know, a lot of them don't know any better. They haven't heard the real gospel. And I just think they've been programmed and so deceived and maybe hurt by religion or whatever that, you know, they just don't have faith to believe that for themselves. And that's kind of where I was thinking maybe what, you know, the guy you talked to, Joe, named Pat, you know, that guy, you know, he just thinks that that's what God wants. So I'm just going to, you know, he's more effective using him that way in place of, wait a minute. Why won't God make me whole? You know, so. Anyhow, I think they've just been deceived by a lot of lying demons, you know, wrong voices, whatever it is.
Yeah, we should go here.
I don't remember exactly what it was my mom said, but we were talking about and what she thought about it. And that, I don't remember what she said, but she was, it was just totally off. And I said to her, I said, well, you know, if you're sick and you can't get around and whatever you have, you know, basically just what I was saying, if you're sick and you can't minister to other people, you want to be used to the Lord and you can't minister to other people because of your sickness, then that's why you need to be healed so the Lord can use you. And you saw this light bulb go off in her, at this light bulb moment, look, you know, go off in her face, you know. And she didn't know what to say after that, you know, because it's true, you know. If you get some kind of severe illness or whatever that incapacitates you and you can't get out and minister and the Lord use you, you know, then how's that bringing glory to God? I don't think I said that, but that's the truth. You know, that illness does not bring glory to God. You getting healed brings glory to God. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now.
Okay. Oh, it's probably okay. I'm worried about it. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I went out today to, for a walk, and my daughter was coming over because she's on a week's vacation, and we went back to her place, and I spent a few hours there, and Zach, who kind of said that he would like to get back together with some of his Christian friends that he had to maybe play his new bass guitar. And he said that in front of Megan, his wife, my daughter, which I went, oh, Megan, tell me about these people, you know. And she talked candidly with me about it. So that's kind of a big advancement. And so he drove me back home here, and I told him to continue pursuing his Bible readings and stuff. And so I'd just like to pray about what I heard today. I spent a lot of time there. I even had to help them with their 1,000-piece puzzle, Star Wars puzzle, and got some Star Wars puzzle pieces together with them, and they all sat at the table. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. And he still has his plants, and but he did a lot of work. He put a new door in where the furnace room is, and he showed me all that stuff. And they both have their offices down in the basement now. It's nice and cool down there. So I just want to bring up these items that I heard today that, because, you know, I didn't think he would actually even mention church or anything around my daughter. So, I'm just thanking the Lord for that. So Father God, first of all, I thank you that, my little love text that I sent to my daughter got a response and an invitation to have one of her days of the vacation with her and, for a few hours anyway. So I thank you for that, Father. I thank you that we went for a nice walk and, it was a lovely day today. And Father God, Zachary Creek mentioned that he would, like to, sing some praise music with his new guitar with some of his old Christian friends. He mentioned that, Father. I pray that you would put that thought back in his mind and that he would remember the thought of me challenging him or persuading him to continue with this newfound word that Christ is supposed to be living in him. Though I don't think he fully understands it, Lord. So you're still drawing him, and I thank you for that, Lord. Magnify your drawing, I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, that we're all seeing changes in our family towards you, Lord, and that's good. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? I got a good testimony if y'all want to hear. I was playing with Elisha the other day over at Anna's house before the meeting. And he kept calling me. He kept calling me. He said, Papa. And then he said, oh, Michael. And then he said, Papa. And then he said, oh, I'm sorry. I mean, Mike. I said, it's okay, Elisha. If you want to call me Papa, I'd be honored. And so from that moment, I told Anna about it. I was kind of heartened by it because I love kids. I just play with them all the time. I'm a big kid myself. Anyway, I guess she had a talk with him, and all the kids now call me Papa, so I'm blessed. I got another family now. I told her, I said, y'all are just like my second family. I said, you're like my granddaughter. And the kids are like my great grandkids. And we just have a good time. At Shoshana, she'll yell out in the, during the service. I don't know if you heard her Friday night. She'd yell out, Michael! she did last night, or Monday night. Yeah, last night. She kept yelling out when David was talking, Michael! She wanted me to look at her. You know, she was doing something. But anyway, that's a blessing to me. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
I just want to add to that prayer because Lord, for our family members, concerning my sister Christina also, and the little talk we had. Father, I pray that you would magnify your word, any little thing, that you would soften the hearts of our loved ones, not just my sister, but any of our loved ones, Lord, that you would soften their hearts to hear any small thing, even if any word like creation or blessing or anything is mentioned by us, Lord, that they would be tuned into that, that they would... That it would be sort of a mini calling from you, Lord, that they would be softened in their hearts to hear more from this, to hear more from your word, Father. And in Jesus' name I pray and thank you, Father, for this. There has to be a start somewhere. There has to be a spark somewhere, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would set that spark and use us even for your drawing of the people, drawing of our loved ones, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I'd like to read you another little deal out of Progressive Intimacies, if you like. This is one of the really tugged at my heart. Jimmy brought it up to me. The way of the Lord is perfect, right and true, converting the very soul. Can y'all hear me okay? Is it loud? Okay, yeah. The path that I have chosen for you, my son, is a path of conversion. It is a path of constant and progressive change. A path that leads to the place where all things become possible. All things become possible. A path in infinite wisdom, justice, and judgment that comes from my very throne of grace. A path that leads to the very realms and portals of eternity. A habitation of my presence and of my rest. A path in which secrets and mysteries are shown and revealed. A path of adventure and revelation. A path which is chosen by many, but revealed to very few. It is the pathway of my heart, a maze of intricate and finite detail, yet simplistic and most easy to walk upon when the light of my truth is leading the way. My truth becomes the light in which you walk by. And as you are able to walk in more and more of my truth, more light will shine forth to illuminate the path that is out ahead of you. There's no one but me who can tell you and direct you in the right way to go. For none have gone down the path that I have laid out for you. And he's talking to each individual one here. There are those who have traveled upon similar paths and trails, but theirs is unique from yours, as yours is unique from theirs. Wait and be still before me, says the Lord, for there's no other way. How else might you receive the instructions in which you must follow? How else might you be led by my spirit, except by the unction and instruction of my spirit to your spirit? Yes, I have given my people my word, but do they not know that I will speak to and instruct them directly, even as I did with my former servants, the holy apostles and prophets of old? I am yet raising up many that will see the former structure and foundation that I have laid. And these will build that eternal foundation of truth and righteousness and will bring completion to the final structure that will house the deep secrets and mysteries of my kingdom in the eternal realm. For eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that I have prepared for those who love me. Would it not be the things of the eternal realm, the true reality, that I would delight in showing and revealing unto my children? What natural things could be found that would give them the true delight that they desire? Is there yet anything temporal that could measure up to what I have created, even eons and centuries before time existed as you know it? What is available in the plane in which there are no natural limitations? Ooh, Lord of God. What can be found? What can be seen? What can be heard? Can man yet assimilate and comprehend the magnitude and the depths of the eternal realm and all that is contained therein? I think not. That was me. I think not. I don't think he can. In the realm of his soul, no. In the realm of his spirit, yes. so that those who walk in and by the Spirit shall taste of this heavenly realm and the sweet delicacies that are contained within it. Glory be to God. Oh, how sweet to the taste are the mysteries of eternity revealed unto the man who cannot be satisfied with any temporal taste that the world has to offer. Ain't nothing in this world that can compare. This is me talking. That can compare with the heavenly things that God has for us. I'm going to continue on here. Oh, how the evil one has deceived the world into believing they can be satisfied by the temporal taste that it has to offer. If they only knew what was available unto them. I'm going to say that again. If they only knew what was available unto them. In this final hour, I will remove the scales from the eyes of those who are willing that they might see and behold the wonders of my truth and a taste of the true delicacies of my kingdom. Oh, sweet to the nostrils is the fragrant aroma that flows from my throne. Sweet to the taste will it be upon the lips and tongue of those who have tasted what heaven has made available to them. Their insatiable hunger and thirst will only be satisfied in this place. So come, come unto this place. As deep calls out to deep, come, oh come unto this place of rest. Come unto this place of fellowship. Come unto this place of communion. Come unto this place of eternity. Come, oh come, Spirit. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, taste and see how good is that which you, Father, have prepared for you. Come and eat from the table of eternity every kind of delicacy imaginable, and even that which is unimaginable. Come and taste what your tongue and lips have not tasted of before. Come and taste of my intimate romance and love. Come, be swept off your feet by the one alone who can satisfy your yearning desire for true and intimate ecstasy. Come, oh come, be amazed and stand in awe and in wonder of what I have always made available to you. Come believe and know that this place exists. Come live and abide in this place forever and throughout all eternity. Come, be captured and caught away into this most secret and most holy place. Come. What are you waiting for? I am waiting for you to come. I will open the doors to eternity and reveal my deep secrets and mysteries unto you. Only come, sit still before me, and I will come. Wait upon me, and I will come. Listen, and I will speak. Hear that you might obey. Obey that you might receive. Receive that you might inherit. Inherit that you might possess. And possess that you might conquer. Conquer that you might give. Give that you might love. Love that you might walk in all that I am and all that I have. And there's no greater place to live than the place where you abide in my love. My love abides in you. Abide in me as I in you. Even as the branch can do nothing of itself except it abide in the vine. Abide you in me. I alone will cut you and prune you and cause you to bear more fruit. Your fruit shall remain and spring forth, bearing even more fruit. This fruit shall be for the salvation of the nations. This fruit shall be my love revealed. This fruit shall be my grace revealed. This fruit shall be my mercy, my humility, and my compassion revealed and demonstrated unto the world. This fruit shall be your family and all those whom you have stood for, glory to God. or do you not belong to me? And do not all those whom you have claimed belong to me? For I have marked them and have set them as a seal upon my heart. They're not forgotten, nor will they ever be abandoned. But ever will my arms be stretched out, reaching unto them and calling them unto myself, that they too might live and abide in my very heart. Come, live, abide, cling to the one who alone can give you rest. Find me, for I hide in the chasms and crevices of eternity. Find me and find the answers to the innermost secrets of your heart. Find me and find life. Find me and you will find and understand the makeup of eternity and all that is encompassed within the realm of my eternal kingdom and domain. Selah. Received on Monday, November the 28th, 2005. At 3:45 p.m. How many of you want to live in that realm of the eternal bliss of the Lord God, His presence all the time? All the time. He's telling us we can. He's showing us we can. We all can. And that's what we've been talking about for, oh, so many years. All of us are dying to self. Some of us quicker than others. Some of us slower than others. But we're all going toward the same goal. We all love the same God. And this is the type, this kind of encouragement here is a springboard to everyone to up the ante. How many of you want to experience those things that he's talking about just in this? And he didn't mention anything but God's love. How many of you smelt the presence of the Lord? Smelled the presence of the Lord? Yeah. Beautiful smell. Smells similar to honeysuckle and roses, I guess, rolled into one. Yeah, it does. That's that horn up there. Every time I blow it, the same smell comes out of it. But that's just a little bitty thing. God has so much more for us waiting on us. Waiting on me. I keep saying this, but Lord, I thank you that distractions are gone in everybody, in Jesus' name. That distractions, every minute that we can spend with you, Lord, we're going to spend it with you, with your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. Calling us into that realm that you want us to live in all the time. I want to be like that Paul Grubbs. Walk out to the tree. Find myself somewhere on the street healing folks. Or walking with Jesus down the beach. Or being over here and watching Jesus get in my chair. Or seeing my angel up there on the wall. Or going to heaven. I ain't been to heaven yet, but I want to go. I'm talking about before I die. But I ain't going to die. I'm going up. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes, that's right. All things are possible. What does the world possibly have for us compared to all? That's right, exactly. Well, I got this, I got that, ain't nothing. Well, I got me a new car. How about you just traveling without a car? Huh? That's the way to travel right there, boy. That's instantaneous. Don't cost nothing either. Ain't no gas involved. Ain't no electricity involved, just Jesus. Jesus flight 101 taking off for Hawaii. That's what I want to hear. Anyway, go ahead, Andrew.
I have a question concerning a verse. And that verse is the very last blessing of in the Bible, where it's in Revelation 22:14. Blessed they that wash their robes, and that theirs shall be the authority over the tree of life. And they may enter by the gates into the city. You know, like I was looking at this verse one day, and Odin Hedrick came up in my head, you know, because he would go into those gates and see the, and you just mentioned something now, so it perked me. I was just wondering if this blessing is available anytime, or is it a timing thing when this comes to happen? Like when the end comes, or, because it seems to me like it's a blessing where you can have access to these three things, you know. You want to wash your robes anyway, and you want to have the authority over the tree of life, to have healings from the leaves and the fruits, and to enter into that gate, into the city. So it's a pearly gate, and we have found the pearl of great price. And it's a doorway, and it's the Lord Jesus. And so I just, you know, we're the merchant who wants to sell everything we have for that pearl, because it's ours. And you know, is this a blessing at any time? Or I guess I just answered my own question. Yeah, so it's a blessing. It's a wonderful blessing, you know. There's a lot there anyway. So I guess I don't need the answer, but if anyone else has a comment, it would be great. Praise God.
The only comment that I would have is that's just a small portion of what God has for his people that are alive in the flesh right now on the world, on the sun. There's things happening that people never wouldn't believe if you told them. They'd call you some kind of crazy guy, delusional. Oh, by the way, how many of you have been hearing a lot about UFOs and aliens and all this kind of stuff? Yeah, they're trying to throw that at us. And it looks to me like that's going to be the great distraction that's going to happen. That it's going to delude even the elect. Because it's going to leave things so real. I'll tell you something, what the Lord told us, that's a demon. Every one of them. Every one of them. A demon. This is the only world with life that's humans. All right, Pat, unless you got one with you.
Got what?
I just destroyed E.T. movie, didn't it?
Bingo. And AI as well.
Yeah, I mean.
I was trying to explain this verse, and actually kind of interesting, some of the comments and tonight was kind of added into this, but I was looking at 1 Peter 2:24, who himself carried our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And I got to looking at all of the Well, let me just, when we started this, the meeting tonight, we're talking about people that if you ask them to pray for them and they would, you know, tell you to get out of there or reject it or, you know, avoid it. No, I don't need that, or et cetera, whatever the excuse was. And I got to thinking about the children of Israel when they went into the wilderness, and you know, they ran out of resources basically, and then they started complaining and murmuring and thinking back, you know, we had it a whole lot better there in the land of Egypt. You know, we could, we had food. You know, we had a nice job and whatever justifications would come up. But they started murmuring, you know, especially when their resources and supplies left, because they were in an uncomfortable position. And that position was they were out of control. They felt like they were out of control. They didn't have control of their lives, which obviously was true. The deception is that any one of us should think that we have control of our lives anyway. I mean, with or without God. You know, if you know the Lord Jesus, you've come to recognize or are in the process of recognizing he is in control. And you or me are simply learning and becoming aware of just how much we don't have control. We don't have the resources. We never had the resources. Before God opened our eyes, we only thought we were living in an illusion that we had the resources, the resources to make our way and be in control and run our own lives, etc. So that wilderness experience for the children of Israel was bringing up, bringing them into the awareness that they weren't in control. And I think that is essentially important to at least become aware of that before you have the proper perspective to reach out and trust, put your trust and confidence in the Lord. And there are some we were talking about tonight, And it is in that very place where you make right on the edge of the understanding and the trepidation that I am not in control. I don't have the power to make this, whatever the situation is, to make it. And in that same point in time when you're on the edge of the abyss, you don't know where to go, God opens your eyes of faith and you take that step spiritually to put your trust in His supply, His resources. And at that point in time, David has spoken about it many times. This is where we learn to rest in trust in our Heavenly Father, of whom all things are possible to them who believe Him. And if you are reluctant to make that spiritual leap of trust, because it's a place of releasing what you used to trust in and trust in that which you do not see. And that is a death. That's a separation. That's a releasing of one and grabbing onto another. And many that were discussed tonight and gave examples of people, I don't want to be healed. I want to. That justification has, they built a justification in their mind that, you know what, God really is using me in this state or this condition. And I have to say, I haven't put a limit on God in that He very well may be using that person in that particular situation. I don't know. I don't know. I know He is not teaching me that. He's teaching me that there is a place that He has prepared for us, that He has prepared. He wants us to live. And He wants us to be released of that old life. And He has provided and made the way. And if one is reluctant to release and to grab by faith, because some people don't have faith because they don't, they haven't taken the steps. I can't explain it. But you have to have a foundational love for God and understand and believe that He loves you. I think to be able to take that leap. But either way, you know, there is that initial, you know, taking of that leap in that born again experience. But then as we become disciples of the Word, and the Lord leads us, fills us with His Spirit, and leads us through, we start to see even more and more aspects of that same concept, that same subtle, I can do it on my own. I got this now. I can do it. And the Lord, through patience and through tribulation and through opposition, He brings us again, even to those places, those multitude of places in our soul where we're still holding on, rather be more comfortable, you know, hanging on to this old way. Until He wears us down and we finally come back to the place of on that precipice again, saying, I'm going to release this old, what I was trusting in and holding on to, and I'm going to reach out and grab God, because all things are possible with Him. And there is a element, a foundation of that in that scripture in 1 Peter 2:24. That we, having died to sins, that we having right on the precipice there of that awareness of ourself, our own power, our own perceived control of our lives, that sin nature, that, or I'm going to say the remnants of that memory of sin pattern in our soul, having died, me having died unto that, might live unto righteousness, might reach out and grab what is righteousness, but that imputation of His life, His justification, because I believe Him. I believe His word. Though I might not understand it, though I might be almost leaping in the dark, but there is that love in our hearts and in our foundation that He has put there that says, I will grasp Him. I will take His way no matter what. That's the way I'm taking, whether I understand it or not. And it's that righteousness, that belief, that trust that I believe allows us to separate and to believe for these treasures that God has put in His Word. And I don't have the, I can say I haven't connected all of the dots there. And I quite frankly, I don't expect to connect a lot of the dots until the Lord takes me through these things. So, it was just kind of a revelation as I was, I stopped just to read that verse, and I just stopped and read it over again and over again, and it just hit me. I'm gonna, because of the connection with righteousness. And I don't. No, I'm not going to go any farther, but. And it just, it kind of made the connection. And when Andrew brought up that scripture, it says Revelation 22:14, to me, it kind of encapsulated what the Lord was showing me. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that theirs shall be the authority over the tree of life, and that they may enter into the gates into the city. I mean, it's kind of amazing to me how it connects in my mind. That we, having died to sins, something already done, already accomplished, might live. That separation of life from that death, that washing of the robe, of that robe, and bringing that soul fully and completely into the purity of Christ's life in us, that we might live unto righteousness. And just kind of a parting, or just a stop, I put the scripture, it's, you know, by whose stripes ye were healed, and I just put healed in my search, in just to look at all the various different examples of healing in Jesus' life. And something interesting about it, and maybe this is a question, but the majority, the great majority, vast majority of the healings that he healed people were instantaneous, or were, you know, within minutes, within the hour, you know, they were. And I guess I'm wondering, this was the thought that I had prior to this, was Jesus, I am assuming, and I guess this was my question, but also my statement, is that Jesus had to be, he was in the place when he was doing his ministry, that he was perfected, completed, as it said, you know, he learned obedience by the things he suffered and various other different things. And he went through that process and completed that process. And when he was in in his ministry on earth, this was before his physical crucifixion. But I am believing that there had to have been a spiritual crucifixion and completion and perfection before that time. Obviously, I'm sure there was. And that this unleashed, released, victorious, life that Jesus allowed flowing through him of the Father's life was that very life that touched people, and that impartation of power and healing was instantaneous in many ways, in many times. And I believe that all of us called to walk in with Jesus through this process of sanctification, that there is the end process of sanctification, which is what God calls perfection, I believe is that, at least I believe now, is that state of which Jesus personified and exemplified before us in these instantaneous demonstrations of power and God's presence. But anyway, I'm probably starting to ramble now, but that's what I'm looking for. And I believe it is all connected with that very separation between life and death. And so praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your patience and your mercy and your constant guidance and overseeing your work in us. And Lord, we love you and we cherish the work that you're doing in us. Lord, we just ask you to fill us to complete, fill us with your Holy Spirit and grant us grace to pursue you even through to this place of perfection that you've called us to and prepared us for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. You know, I often remember that when you get to heaven, what is it the Lord's going to say to me? You know, not that I'm under the law or anything like that. What I'm saying is, I want him to be proud of me, but do I want him to be proud of me enough to where I want to lose everything in the world and in the flesh? And if I relied on what I am doing, I would fail miserably. But it's always in the future that I'm looking at. I'm always looking at Jesus, looking at Jesus. Or I should be looking at Jesus. That's how I want to look like. And I know that sometimes it's a trial. But if we keep plugging away, and what did he say about sin? I keep forgetting that. No, I don't. In Jesus' name. I remember. Anyway, that's what we have to look at, is looking at Jesus all the time. Because we look at ourselves, we're going to fail. And that's something I know. I can't look at myself. I have to look at Jesus. Like the 2 Peter 2:24, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us to do, is to look at Jesus in the mirror every day, every day. I'm going to be like you today, Jordan. And that's a second by minute by hour thing. That if we can keep Jesus told us if you can keep me on your mind all the time, and you'll be a great success. It's when we get distracted that we lose. That's when you've got Jesus on your mind all the time, you're walking in the Spirit. And that's why he wants us to pray in the Spirit all the time. pray without ceasing, he said. And praying in the spirit, it introduces us. That's a portal to the spirit realm. And it's becoming more clear to me every day that the more that I walk in the spirit, the more we're going to look like Jesus, right? Yeah. And the more that you, when you open that Bible, I started doing this some time ago. When I open my, before I open my Bible, Lord, show me what you want me to know today. And show me the revelations. Open up, peel that onion for me, Lord, on these verses that I read. And show me revelations so that I can know how to walk like that again and again and again and again. And then when I go to sleep at night, before I go to sleep, Lord, give me a dream that would help me in my walk with you. Watch what happens. Okay, anybody else? This is, I'll tell you something. We're going to get to the part to where it's not a drudgery. It's going to be a, I can't wait to get up to my room where I can talk to Jesus. I can't wait to go out to the blockhouse so I can talk and walk with Jesus along the shores of the bank. I can't wait to talk to Jesus, you know, wherever it is. Wherever is your favorite place. It's just like that guy that the Lord came to him and asked him, said, would you be my friend? Remember that? And he said it got to be where that was the, man, I couldn't wait to get there to talk. You're going to talk to Jesus. That's the way it'll be with us when we, only thing on our mind is Jesus all the time, Jesus all the time. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. It's a matter of dying to flesh enough to do it. Don't let things distract you from doing it. And it's not a law thing. It's just, y'all have all seen this on books and stuff where they always say, what's on your mind the most is what you are. You know? Is Jesus on your mind 90% of the time? 100% of the time, 75% of the time, or 10% of the time? I submit to you that when you get up in the high bracket, you will start looking like Jesus, and your light will shine to the whole world. And they'll want to know because you got a smile on your face and you're skipping your walk wherever you go, whether you're skipping or not. You'll look like it. Man, you look at that. Look at that. Look at that woman over there. Man, she shining like a brand new neon light. What is that? You get to tell her. Well, that's Jesus. You can have the same light. You can turn that light on too. I'm telling you. And I tell you, it's a walk that we will be walking for eternity when we get there. Now don't get me wrong. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. I don't think any of us are. But I want to be there. It's how bad do I want to be there is the question. Yeah, it's all about faith. It's every bit about faith. You just wake up in the morning, start confessing Jesus. Lord Jesus, we're going to do what you want to do today. Glory to God, we're going to do what you want to do. What you want to do. And sit down and listen and be quiet and let him tell you. Well, yeah. Well, Lord, I'd like to just go walking with you. Well, I'm waiting on you. Let's go. Oh, he'll pout around with you. I've had to do that. That's good. Look, I'm nobody, but I'm telling you, I'm beginning to believe that Jesus really does love us. You know, he really does. Glory to God. Anybody else? I'm just riding with you. Yeah, Joe.
I just want to add, what you were talking about now, the latest UBM video is talking exactly the same thing and the latest one. If anybody wants to listen to that. It's a very good video. I listened to it quite a few times and I want to listen to it again. There's so much to take in here.
Write that in the chat. Judy, please. Okay, thank you, Joe. Hey, how you doing, brother?
It's getting better. Let me put it this way. But then it's getting better. It's not working with me. Tell me a few things yesterday, but I have to attend to. So I'm busy and studying with that. Trusting the Lord for it. Not doing myself. Trusting the Lord for it. Not doing myself works.
Do you have a special place you go walking at, Jeff?
No, I don't walk much. I'm at the complex. It's about 64 units in here. So everybody got his own little room and bathroom and a kitchen. So not much place. But no, I'm not really walking these days. I'm just studying. Spend time.
Okay. Praise God. Well, I love to walk. That's the reason I asked. I love to walk and go to the park. Sometimes I take my chair over to the box house, sit down, just me and Jesus, and pray. Talk to the Lord. Watch the speedboats go by and the jet skis and the kayaks and the gooses. I got a bunch of geese that if I go over early in the morning, they'll come from over at Fort Loudon and come over to the blockhouse, swim over to the blockhouse, come up there and eat the grass, poop all over the place. That's gooses' job, isn't it? That's their job. Oh my. I had a friend that I met, a casual friend that I met while I was over there. Him and his wife, Jose, and gosh, I can't remember, I'm having trouble remembering her name, but anyway, they bring their dogs over there and walk. And the other day they were there and he went one way and I went the other and I said hello to him, good morning and all that. Young couple, probably in their 40s. And Laura told me some on the way back, I was headed out, went back up to the truck and he told me to lay put a sovereign God on the book. And I did and I put a little note in there because we introduced ourselves some time ago. And I hadn't seen him since, so I'm just believing God's going to use that book and run into some real truth of the gospel. I'd ask them if they were believers. Of course, everybody says they are. All right. Anybody got a prayer request before we close out tonight? Hey, Debbie. Yeah, we have to unmute before we can hear you.
Okay, I forget what I just said a minute ago. But I had a prayer request, and that was, I think I shared at our meeting this past week, or maybe last Friday night, about a friend of Gloria's. Her name is Alexa. Alexis. And she stayed with us her senior year of high school. Her family situation was really horrible, really bad. She's close to her grandparents, live in Florida. Then I saw her. I haven't seen her for the longest time. I saw her in Illinois when I was there for Albert's memorial. She was there. And she was with a young man who was a Christian man. I knew she was a Christian. We helped her out a lot when she lived with us. But she was a Christian. And with this young man who was a son of a friend of mine, was a Christian friend. And so she was just telling how good she was doing and how much the Lord mentored. And she was really growing in the Lord. And he was standing there next to her. They looked so happy together. Well, then I found out that, that's done. That relationship is done. And she's back in Florida. And she's, so she's had a real bad past that she's got severe rejection. And so she was putting messages out to the kids on Facebook. And Gloria said some things to her, and Victory did. She's just talking about how nobody cares, knowing my family, from the, out of the blue, just knowing my net of a blood family, blood people I know care for me, except my grandma and grandpa, and I have some closer friends and they do my blood family. So she's been, feels rejected by her blood family, I guess that's what it is. And I know she has rejection so badly that I believe that that's probably maybe got in the way and hurt this relationship I thought was really good. So it's been on my mind, what's been on my heart is I want share prayer with and is to get hold of her and start really speaking to her and maybe invite her to get on the conference call. I just envision that her doing that and really receiving and getting help this way, because she's not got it any other way, not really, not just throwing it out there on Facebook. I can't do it. So I want to pray for her. It's pretty bad. She's got rejection really bad. So anyway, I want to pray for her right now. I mean, just keep her in mind and see what happens with that coming on. But thank you, Lord. I pray for Alexis, Lord. Look up to you, Lord God. And I just thank you that you've put this on my heart, Lord God. And I pray you'd be doing a work in her now, Lord, to be able to receive that. This is of you, Lord God, that she'll receive it. And she'll want to come on and seek the help, Lord. Receive prayer, receive counsel, God, and hear testimonies of others, Lord God, who have gone through rejection and been healed, Lord God, and delivered. And I just lift this up to you, this thought I believe you put in my heart, Lord, to reach out to her and invite her in. So I just thank you, Lord, that I see ahead that she's going to be delivered of this rejection, Lord God, and have a great testimony, Father. I just praise and thank you, Lord, for working in her life, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that that rejection is gone from her in the name of Jesus. Praise you for it, Father. Lord, we've got to let her be a new woman without that rejection. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right, Joe, go ahead, brother.
On our complex yesterday, the manager yesterday morning was feeling a bit not so good, so he go to the doctor, and just as he's climbed out of his car, his wife said he got a heart attack. So he died yesterday morning. So I just want prayer for he's a Seventh-day Adventist, but his wife Petru, I'm not sure if it's a Dutch reform what she believes in. So I just want to pray for comfort for a family who lost their husband, and we lost our manager yesterday of a complex.
Okay, go ahead.
Lord, thank you for come to my family here, Lord. I pray for Peter and the family, just Lord, for comfort, for the loss of her husband. Just give him some peace and rest, Lord. Understand why things happen in the world. I'm not sure, Lord, to be what's really sick or something. But Lord, you just showed us how small about. We're not sure about time. We just have to spend the time that we have with you. Enjoy every time, Lord, everything, what I believe, what I act on. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for comfort for the family. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Well, we're out of time. Glory be to God. Y'all be blessed. You hear?